And listen, you two, just leave me alone up here. But we're so glad you're here, Miss Gitter, and all of her children, they came. yesterday we had the men's breakfast, had a great time down there, and Pastor Chuck, he brought a word, and it was a fundamental word, but it was a powerful word. And he talked about one of the prophetic visions that one of the prophets had, where there was seven ambulances lined up, and they walked behind the ambulance, and the angel, when he looked inside, the angel said, "There's no heartbeat." And the gentleman that interpreted a dream, he said, "That was prayer in the church." And he said, "No, there's no heartbeat." And he went to the next ambulance and said, "No, there's no heartbeat." And all seven of them he went through and he said, "There's no heartbeat. They've lost prayer in the church." And after the seventh one, they turned and they walked away. And he said, "Wait a minute. I hear a faint heartbeat in that last one." So, and Pastor Chuck was just speaking about the power of prayer and being disciplined in prayer and hungry for prayer and spending time in prayer. And even though it's a fundamental truth and a principle that we all know, it's also the least attended services that there are in churches. And it's the one that everybody backs away from. The very first thing they let go of is prayer. And they start to try to do more. But I want you to know, prayer is where we're going to win everything. Prayer is where we're going to find our freedom. Prayer is going to transform all the cities and the towns around this nation. The only thing that's going to change this nation is when God's sons and daughters get together in prayer. All the other massive conventions and everything else that people want to do, they're wonderful, but they're not going to change a nation. Prayer is what's going to change a nation. And so I want to encourage you to get back into that place of prayer. With Miss Catherine, she'll be in prayer with us. She's always in prayer with us. And then we also have some special guests with us this morning. Amen. 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 If Mr. and Mrs. Jacob Johnson could stand up back there as they're back from their honeymoon. Amen. So good to have them back from Colorado. They made it home. And the house is almost ready. Right, Dan? He can't hear nothing. If you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Amen. And we've said that many times. We've said it many times, and it's a scripture that everyone knows. Amen. There's nothing more beautiful than when God touches someone and they don't care who's around. You know? That's right. Roberto, you going to come up and do your dance? You going to come up and dance for me? Love you. Love you too. Love it. But Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And we are the sons and daughters of God. And we're going to have to walk in that spirit realm. The church has been walking in that natural realm, the fleshly realm, the last couple of years. So much of that has been spoken about or lived out because they looked at things in the natural rather than the supernatural. And we believe that our God is a supernatural God. Derek Prince, he said, "Endeavoring to live the Christian life by your own efforts is the greatest single hindrance to walking in the Spirit." It's the greatest hindrance, trying to do it in our own strength, trying to do it our way in Christ. There's only one way to do it, and that's His way. Amen? A.A. Allen, he was a faith healer years ago. He said, "If you are walking with Jesus in the Spirit, you need not fear going too far. No believer has ever gone as far as God wants to take him. And it's true. No matter what you've experienced, no matter what you've done in the Lord or for the Lord, it still is not all that God has already promised. Amen? He still has more. There's a new horizon this morning. No matter where God's taken, what God's taken you out of and where he's brought you to, there's a horizon that God has that he wants you to look over and step over into that's greater than what we're living right now. But we're going to have to do it by the Spirit. We cannot do it by the flesh. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, we've been talking about, what have we been talking about? Yeah. Discernment the last couple of weeks. And we're going to stay there. And discernment is to discern good and evil. And why is that so hard for the church? Why is it that, I mean, it's quite easy to discern. Once we read the Word of God, we know what good and evil is. Amen? Right. But why is it that we allow it into our house, the evil into our house, or thoughts into our mind, or things to happen in our lives that we put our hands to when we know they're wrong? It's not that we don't have discernment. Can we all agree we have discernment? Right. We all have it. There's also a gift of discernment, which is a little bit more powerful than discernment that everybody gets when we read the Word of God and we can walk according to the Word of God. It's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And there's a gift of discernment. And sometimes that has been abused where it's been people that are just very negative all the time and call it discernment. And all they do is complain about everything that's going on in the kingdom. But I believe that God's given each one of us a measure of discernment when he gave us his word to be able to look at every single thing that happens. Now, it's understandable that we do not have leaders in this country, many of them, that have any discernment whatsoever. They cannot discern between good and evil. They have no idea because they don't have the Word of God before their eyes daily. We have the Word of God. It's cut and dry. And I want to encourage you, this is not a popularity contest. It's not. Because if you're going to stand on the Word of God and you're going to discern it out in public, then they're not going to agree with you. But if you're looking to become one of those that fits in, tell your neighbor, say, you don't fit in the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Amen? And you're going to have to discern when people are talking. Isn't it amazing how that jumps up inside of you? As soon as somebody starts talking, it jumps on the inside of you. You're like, what in the world are they talking about? Or how can anyone think that that's a good idea? How is that possible? 15-year-old girl can't go in and get an aspirin, but she can go get an abortion without her parents knowing. How in the world is that a good idea? You can't get an aspirin, otherwise you'll get in trouble, but it's okay if she wants or he wants to go get a sex change at the age of 8 years old and don't tell the parents. What in the world? Who? There's just not words enough for the foolishness of man. But that's what happens when discernment leaves the building. And then you step in the middle of those conversations, and you have an opportunity to speak the truth. The truth is not going to be popular the rest of your days on this planet. Oh, yes, I did. Thank you. Pastor Tom, come here. Thanks, Kev. If you and Mike would have just sat there and pointed at him, you know, in the middle. It never works. I don't see you back there. You guys just blend. Not with that shirt.
You got the memo.
We got the memo. But we just want to pray for Pastor Tom. His mom's not doing well. Yeah, she's been up in the hospital. Prayerfully, she's going to be coming home in a little while. But it's been a rough time for Pastor Tom, watching his mom just go downhill a little bit. And so we need to just put our hands together, you know what I mean, and raise them up, stretch them forward, and lift up Tom and his whole family and his mama. Because there's something special about mama. Always is, right? And Tom was giving her Gatorade and other things that he's not supposed to. I said,
"You're going to get me arrested." She's watching on her phone in the hospital. No, I don't do that.
No, I've never seen Tom do that. I can say that honestly. I've never seen him do that. I wasn't there. But I said, "You know, you're a bad boy, but you're a good son." And so this morning, stretch your hands forward and let's just lift them up, shall we? Father, I thank you for our beautiful gift. Lord, his heart is so tender and so gentle. And though all of those children downstairs adore Pastor Tom. And Father, today I pray that even when he has been weak, Lord, or struggling in his heart, Lord, we pray for a strength now in the name of Jesus. Right now, Holy Spirit, arrest him, strengthen him. And Lord, as he walks through this time, that his faith would stay strong. Strong in the Lord and the power of your might. We speak to Grandma Flo's body be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't care what man says, but that resurrection power rises up inside of her body. Cancer die in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, now that your Holy Spirit comes, overwhelms both of them and their whole family, all through the power of your love. And we give you the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love you, man. Oh, I love you so much. Appreciate you. It's what we do when we have church. Amen. That's what we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Listen, if you don't know what your gift is, we need to work that out and figure that out so you walk in the power of that gift. That gift was given to you by the King of Glory. A gift that he wanted to express himself through on this earth. That's why he gave it to you. That's why you have that gift. And so many in the body of Christ, they don't walk or exercise that gift in their lives because of whatever the reasoning, fear, or maybe maybe you were someplace before you came here and they didn't believe in that. I believe that these gifts are for today. I believe the gift of the Holy Ghost is for today, according to the Word of God, and it's for every single person that believes. For you, for your household, and as many as call on the name of the Lord. I believe it's for each and every one. Your gift has been given by God specifically for you to exercise on the earth. It is not for when you get to eternity, it's for now, and it changes people's lives. How many people have been changed by a prophetic word spoken over their lives? Or how many people have been healed through a word of prayer? In prayer. How many people have been set free because someone came and encouraged you with a word of the Lord? Right. And those gifts are for now. That's why God poured them out. He said he wanted you encouraged. He wanted us strengthened. He wanted us to understand that he's here. He hears our cry. Each and every one. Pastor Charlie Sweet, he sent me a text last weekend. He just sends me random texts every once in a while about a word that God gives him. And his words always encourage. It's always about what God is doing. And he's in contact with a bunch of other prophets. And so he just shares what these guys say. And you know what? Every time he sends one, I get encouraged and I get strengthened. Because he's exercising his gift. I don't call them and text them and say, "Oh, Charlie, I need a word," because I've got the word of God. But when he sends one all on his own and he just sends it and all of a sudden everything inside is stirred up and you're ready to fight some more and you're ready to stand some more and encourage some more and build some more. This is what God does through the gift that you have. and yours is mighty, the pulling down of strongholds. It breaks the strongholds in people's minds. In verse 2, it says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away by the dumb idols, however you were led. I just had to use the New King James on this one. Because how many things did we have in our lives that we looked at that we said they were greater than anything else on the planet? How many people are still walking around and have idols before God? Tell your neighbor, say, not me. Right? Others have put relationships before God. They've compromised because they didn't use discernment. He said, don't be unequally yoked. Amen? And how many have and then had to walk through a valley in the midst of it? Why? We got to use that discernment. He doesn't want us ignorant of his word. He doesn't want us ignorant of walking in the spirit and walking out our gift. It's amazing how when your children bring people home and they start talking, you can find out pretty quickly what's on the inside. Why? Because you tried all of that when you were a teenager and it didn't work. And now you get to see just how silly it sounded. But God gives us discernment in the midst of it and allows us to see. So if you've got any idols, if there's anything that you're chasing more than you are the things of God, I didn't say it, but the Word of God did. He said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Verse 3, he said, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Tell your neighbor, say, each one. For the profit of all. It's given to each one, but it's for the profit of all. It's not for you. It's not for you. That gift is not so you become somebody. That gift is not so people look at you. That gift is for the profit of all. So when you step out and you utilize the gift that God has given you, everybody around you starts to become stronger in the things of God because of you. Or they find deliverance from a word or healing, whatever it is. Everybody around you starts to get changed when you walk in your gift. Do you agree? Amen. That gift that you have is powerful. It is magnificent. It is thought up by the King of Glory and then placed on the inside of you for one reason, that he gets the glory. Everybody around you is strengthened. Everybody around you is built. Everybody around you becomes stronger because of your gift being utilized. Everybody. In verse 8, it says, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, all these things, distributing to how many? How many? How did he do each one? Individually? As what? As he wills. See, sometimes gifts are becoming an idol. Can't they be? I don't like the gift I got. I want somebody else's gift. Oh, I like that gift. How come I don't have that? That's what he's talking about. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. So whatever that gift is that God has given you, we need to exercise it as he wills. This is what he wants. And as we look at, you know, discerning of spirits, this is what God really is looking for each one of us to walk out. We've been talking about discernment and talking about discernment of spirits, and we see many things that happen in the Word of God. And obviously, you know, we got the ministry gifts, which is the DOMA gifts or the governmental gifts, right? The apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and then the manifestation gifts, which are the nine gifts of the Spirit given by the Holy Spirit, and then the motivational gifts in Romans that's given by the Father. And so as we look at the gifts, and specifically just this one today about discerning of spirits, we need to be exercising that gift because there are some ugly things that are being perpetrated on the world right now. And that spirit of the Antichrist is in many different places. It's not one. Because wherever they go against Jesus Christ, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Amen? Anyone that preaches against that, anyone that prophesies against that, we see it in the scriptures many times. And, you know, as we walk discerning things, we can look at something very quickly and very easily and find out whether it's a distraction or not. How many more things do we need in our lives? Things we're talking about. How many more things do we chase in our lives or do we do rather than what God's called us to do? How many times are we exercising our freedom to do whatever we want and not stepping out in the gift that God has called us to? God wants us to discern the different spirits wherever we are. If you have, turn over to Mark chapter 8 and verses 1 through 5. And discerning where we are at and what's going on. It says, in those days when there was, again, a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat, and Jesus called his disciples, and he said to them, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from a great distance. And his disciples answered and said, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. The Holy Spirit always reminds us that the impossible is possible. The Holy Spirit will never tell you it's impossible. The Holy Spirit didn't come to Miss Sue and say, it's impossible, she's going to die, let it go. He said, pray for that resurrection power. That's the one that stirred up the gift of faith inside of them, inside of Sue. Stirred that up. No, that resurrection power lives on the inside of you. And it was so powerful that she said, hey, 2 or 3. I need 2 or 3 to join in with me, and we're going to stand in the gap for this lady. See, there was a discernment that, no, this isn't unto death. There was a desire to watch this woman's life be transformed. And guess what? The whole family is going to be changed by the power of prayer. Because of the gift of faith on the inside of her. And this is what God wants to do. The Holy Spirit will never tell you it's impossible. It's always possible. That's all he will ever do. To him that believes, all things become what? Possible. You see, once the Spirit of God starts to dwell in us, and all those things that used to bother us and distract us and cause issues in our lives, we start to walk away from and say, wait a minute, I'm not in that world anymore. I've been translated out. And now the things that we start to discern through the Word of God, everything starts to change. And it's wonderful how man saw who in the world, how can anyone come up with enough bread to feed these people? And Jesus didn't get distracted by it because he was discerning according to the way things are done in eternity. Amen? And he asked him, he said, how many do you have? That's all he wants to know. He didn't say, hey, I'll take care of it all. He said, how many loaves do you have? And I believe that's one of the questions he's asking today. What is the gift that you have? Because it's not about the person next to you. It's about you. How many do you have? And so many times people have come up and say, well, I can't do that. I'm not that good. I don't have that. You don't understand. I want you to understand the gift that he has given you. It's to transform people's lives around you. And that's what Jesus does here. We see everybody around him starts to change. You know, when Jesus starts to speak, this is where nature starts to get overruled. Nature gets overruled by the spirit realm. It's something that lives outside of. It's a place that we get to walk that's outside of the natural realm. Because the natural realm would look at that body laying there with the machine on and say, it's over. And that's what, was it his sister, Sue? His sister. That's what the brother said. He looked at all the natural side of things and said, it's over. It's over. She's going to die. But then the supernatural came. And that looked outside. That's the one that overruled the natural things in that hospital room. You have the supernatural on the inside of you. That's who lives there. And therefore, every single time you walk in, the supernatural walks in. But you're going to have to believe that. And that everything, no matter what it looks like in the natural, you get to overrule the natural side of things. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that incredible? Whatever's going on in the natural, you have superior authority over what's going on in the natural. In anybody's body. That's what the scripture says. And it's quite clear. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, then you walk in, you have discernment to be able to look at something and say, wait a minute, I understand this gets overruled by the power of God. I don't care how far your children are wayward. That little natural thing can be overruled by the power of God. No matter how long they've been running or how far they've been running, it gets overruled by the power of prayer on the inside of you. That which seems impossible becomes possible. And this is where the believer steps in and pray with prayer and praise and starts to speak what the Lord has to say, and people's lives are transformed. You know, discernment, it doesn't heal a person, but it puts a person in a place to agree and receive what the Lord has already done for them. Right? Discerning what the problem is isn't going to heal the problem. But discerning, it takes away the veil. We have a veil in front of our eyes most of the time when we're walking around. Sometimes we see a problem, we think it's just way too big. It's too outside the realm of speculation that we could even possibly win in that situation. And then all of a sudden, deliverance comes or discernment comes in. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of the word of the Lord, and that veil starts being removed from our eyes, and all of a sudden we can see into the supernatural. And we start to remember what God did when you were lost in your sins and trespasses, and what a marvelous miracle that was. And then we start to remember how he's kept you. You start to remember the other words from other people, how God has touched them and healed them, delivered them, or whatever the issue was. How he restored marriages and he restored children unto the Lord, and those wayward ones come home. You see, that discernment starts to prepare us. It removes the veil so that we can see clearly what God's purpose and his plan is for our lives. And he starts to open up his word to us. And that's why we've got to be reading the word of God every day. So the Holy Spirit has something to bring back to our remembrance to infuse into us to say, hey, get out of there. Get out of that thought process. Get out of that doom and gloom. You got to get back in faith, because that's what the Spirit of God has. He wants you to be able to look at a situation, discern the situation, and say, hang on a second, what says the Lord? Because men and women are going to be going about all the things that are going on in your life. And 27 people want to tell you how you ought to do it. But I'll take one word from God over 1,000 words from 27 different people. But so many times, we want the words of mere men. Once that discernment comes in, we can see the spirit into the spiritual realm. And so many are walking defeated because they haven't taken that veil away. They haven't trusted to get into the Word of God and grab a hold of the promise of God, speak that over their lives until they see that come to pass. We have to make a decision in each one of our lives which realm is going to consume and control us. Is the realm of the natural man going to control, or is it the realm of the Spirit? Are we going to walk in the flesh, or are we going to walk in the Spirit? Not being distracted by the natural, the temporal realm. You know, and this is where Jesus has won every single aspect of life. This is where Jesus wins it all. And he won it for each one of us. He only did and said what he saw his father, what he heard and what he saw in eternity. So he was able to discern the supernatural realm above the natural realm. And that's where he lived. He said, how many loaves do you have? That's what he asked him. How many loaves do you have? When they saw an impossibility, he saw preparation to transform the way that they think. So when people come to you and they say this is an impossible situation, they're saying, I've heard you speak things where you actually believe that the natural is submitted to the supernatural. See, they're starting to hear that. We were out on the street last night over in Philmont, just walking around praying for people. We got to pray for a gentleman by the name of Jim out in front of Cumbie's over there. He's already went down and prayed for Mr. Bill Ham yesterday. And then my bride and Christine, they got to to meet Miss Skeeter over there, and we got to pray with her and encourage her. But how many people will not just go out and meet people and to encourage them in the things of God? Why is it? Why is it that this is what the Father's desire is, and yet when we look at a man or a woman, we become overwhelmed with what they look like or what they might think, rather than what God spoke to us that's going to transform and change someone's life, right? What is it about us, or what is it in us, that so gets groveled down into the natural realm or overweight or overburdened, I should say, by the natural things where we say, no, that's not for me. That's not what the scripture says, does it? The scripture says to go and do the work of the evangelist. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Why? Because the gift that he placed on the inside of you is mighty. It's powerful. It will destroy the work of the devil. Every bit of darkness on this planet, you have the authority to walk in, shine a light, and drive out the darkness. No matter who they look like, no matter what they have, no matter where they've come from. Even when there's a language barrier. Can I tell you, you pray in English, God takes care of all the rest of it. We have prayed in so many different countries over people, had no idea. There was no interpreter. We just kept praying, laying hands on people in India. They had no idea what we were saying. And I had no idea what they were saying. But I knew what they were saying, because their face expressed it all. When their eyes become wide and they start to rejoice and they lift their hands, you know what they're saying. But yet they didn't understand anything. What happens? You believe that the supernatural trumps the natural. You believe that through the power of the Spirit of God, He can take care of all of that. He's the translator of everything. He translates righteousness into our lives. He takes the Word of God, He places it, and he stirs it up inside of each one of us, and He reminds us time and time and time again, hey, don't say that. Don't go there. Don't ingest that. Don't look at that. Don't listen to that. The Spirit of God does that. A lot of times we turn our discerner off and we say, yeah, but I agree with what they said about me. But I want to look at that. And that's the enemy always coming with that natural side of things. And he's saying, no, 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 this is what's going to satisfy you. And Jesus said, no, it's not. That's not going to satisfy. Seven loaves are not going to satisfy 5,000 people. Seven loaves aren't going to do it. But what Jesus did was he looked into that next realm. And he said, Father, we got to show them how the economy works in eternity. And that's what he's asking for each one of us. He's saying, will you believe me so that when you step out and you act out in your gift, you're able to discern what's going on in people's lives. And then he's able to break forth through you and transform someone's life that he loves dearly. This is all he's asking for. No demon was ever able to make Jesus compromise. This is what the devil always wants. He always wants us to compromise. He wants us to compromise what God's called us to do compared to what we want to do. He wants that natural man to overwhelm. Every single word or deed that he performed faithfully according to the will of the Father. No man or woman was able to able to cause him to desire himself above the Father. What we desire to do, does that supersede what the Father's called us to do? When we have discernment, we're able to see the schemes of the enemy and walk away from the foolishness. When we walk in that, it's easy to discern somebody's spirit as soon as they start speaking. But sometimes you can tell what spirit is on the inside of them before they say a word. You walk up and you know what they need before they ever speak. You can see it over them. When we spend time in prayer, see, that's the gift that God wants us to walk in. That we don't have to listen to them go on and on for the next 45 minutes about how horrible their life is. And can I just encourage you, everyone in here, don't agree with them and tell them how horrible your life has been. That doesn't bring freedom. If they come and they're talking about how hard their life has been, just give them the truth. All right? Let's stick with the truth. That's the only thing the Holy Spirit's going to bring. But sometimes people want to agree with others and say, yeah, I know. Oh, it's been rugged. I got the same problems, brother. Well, wait a minute. Are you telling me that Jesus is the healer? Yeah, he is. But, well, he's still working on me. Let's walk this out together. All right, let's give it a shot. I can't tell you how many conversations I've heard people share like that. But they go down into the pit with the people. Our job is to look at what God said, that his word is already accomplished through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then bring them to a right relationship with him. Matthew chapter 16, verses, holy mackerel, 21 to 23, sorry. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and he rebuked him, saying, God forbid it. Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man. Jesus discerned the spirit that Peter was speaking through. And Peter was being used to try to stop Jesus from accomplishing the purpose that he came. And Jesus discerned that and said, look, get behind me. You're being used as a tool for the enemy. In Acts chapter 5, we see in that, you don't have to turn there, in Ananias and Sapphira, they were tried to lie to the Holy Spirit. And Peter discerned. Peter learned something about discernment, didn't he? You get told, get behind me, Satan, from Jesus one time. I bet you learned that one real quick. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they come and they try to lie about how much they sold their property for. And Peter, through the Holy Spirit, he says, discerned that they were lying, and both of them dropped dead. In Acts chapter 16:16-18, it says, it happened that as they were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed. How many know the devil gets annoying? Isn't it annoying when them same stupid thoughts come up in your head? How annoying is it when you make the same mistake over and over and over again? Paul was getting annoyed, and he turned and he said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. You see, the devil is known as the spirit of light, right? As the son of light. So he comes. What she was saying was true. Paul, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What she's prophesying is true. There was a spirit of divination in all that land where she was been prophesying. But Paul had to differentiate that which was of the devil and that which was of God. Because he didn't want people being confused, and that's what the devil always wants to bring, isn't it? The devil wanted to bring confusion in there, so he had her speaking, oh, these are men of God. These ones are the ones of the Holy One. And he said, finally he said, just stop. Because he didn't want the people being deceived by the Son of Light. So that as they walked and they heard their voices speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and healing coming, she didn't get any credit for it. The devil comes as a Son of Light. And he always wants to try to get you discouraged. He wants you to become disillusioned. He wants you to become confused. This is what he always tries to do in each and every one of us. But we need to speak to it. You know, she was serving the enemy and not God. He discerned it was an evil spirit and he cast it out, and the whole city was in an uproar. Listen. You go out and speak the truth right now when it comes to any topic that has to do with the Word of God, and watch the city go in an uproar. How many cities are in an uproar when men and women, listen, we were out there at the abortion clinic a couple weeks ago, and we were all praying just individually. We got together in corporate prayer, and then we got worshiping. Holy mackerel, did everything change. Because when you start to proclaim the truth over an area, the devil doesn't like it. And the city gets in an uproar. You're going to turn the city upside down when you start to speak the truth. But so many are afraid to speak the truth. Not you. Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. The enemy went crazy in that city. The enemy's going crazy everywhere men and women stand up and speak the truth. You're watching it, but there's some rumblings going on in America where the truth is being preached by grassroots individuals in all different towns and places. The ones that said, enough. The places where men and women got together and say, you know what, I'm tired of the darkness coming in and jumping all over this. We're going to stand now and we're going to start to proclaim the truth over this situation. Let's get together. Let's band together. Pray. Let's worship, let's cry out, and let's thank God for the victory. And there are things happening around this great country that most people, you'll never see it in the news, but there's men and women that are believing the truth. And by the Spirit of God and discernment, they're bringing the truth and exposing it in so many different places through the power of God. And that's what we're going to do, but the city's going to go crazy. And just one last scripture quickly in 1 John 4:1-6. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. How many know there's prophets and then there's false prophets? There's teachers and then there's false teachers, right? There's apostles and there's false apostles. The devil is always going to try to bring something false that sounds very close to the truth. But he said, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Isn't it amazing? They're having the same problem back then as we are now. In verse 2, it says, and by this, know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, in which you have heard that it is coming. And now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. And by this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a lot of churches that have forgotten what the spirit of truth is. There's churches that are preaching from the spirit of error. They are not proclaiming that Jesus Christ's blood was enough to wash away all of our sins. They are not proclaiming that homosexuality goes against the word of God. They're starting to embrace this, or the spirit of this world. And that's what they are preaching. And their doors will be closing. Guaranteed. is what's going to happen. It's happening all over the place. You look at the churches around here that have joined in there, and it's constantly just been dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. The churches that we're associated with that preach the Word of God, they keep growing and growing and growing. That's what happens when you preach the Word of God. You see, but we're going to have to be able to discern it. Because when you meet people on the street and you start to share it, it's one thing. You sit in the past in a room full of pastors, things get heated. People start to get upset. And then things are said all over town about you. I don't care. Because you can tell by looking at me, this isn't a beauty contest. This is about the Word of God going forth and us discerning the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Amen? Stand up this morning. One of the things that I want to ask you in your life, because it's about discerning, we got to discern what the Holy Ghost is saying in each one of our lives. And He's speaking very clearly, I believe. Is there... the way that you're acting, if it became universal, would it be good for the entire world? Steve says, I think we all have a in us. Amen? Right? And I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of these issues in our lives. Why? Because He wants us to be used in a greater way. But we're going to have to make a decision that whatever the Spirit of God speaks, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to discern first here in my own house and say, Father, what is it that You want to deal with this morning? And when the Holy Spirit speaks, to say, Father, I'm going to put my finger on that. I'm going to read every scripture on that. And I'm going after that. That is not going to be a part of my life any longer. I'm letting it go. You are the first. I have no idols. What do we read? I don't have any of these stupid idols. Whatever it is that man has said, you have to acquire. You need these. It'll bring you happiness. Oh, if you just had that. Oh, if you could just go there. Let me tell you something. You just bring the supernatural everywhere you walk, and you will walk in paradise all the days of your life. Paul was in prison, setting people free in handcuffs and worshiping God and enjoying every minute of it. Changing the world from a prison cell. So it's not about what you've acquired. It's who lives on the inside of you that changes everything about our lives. Amen? So this morning as we pray, I just want to encourage you to start to stir up that gift on the inside of you. Stir up that gift. If you don't know what your gift is, come on in. We'll show you what it is. We've got a little teaching that we go through, and it'll tell you what your gift is. When you find out what your gift is, then express it everywhere you go and watch God be glorified in it. Amen? The world is looking for you to express that gift and to glorify God. The world needs you. We go right out of the natural world into the supernatural world. Resurrection power lives on the inside of you, no matter where you walk. But if we don't discern that and believe that, then we'll walk as they do. God wants things changed in each one of our lives so that we can be used even more by Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Every time Your Word is read, transformation comes. Change comes. And Lord, we don't want to be those that would try to hinder the plan of God in our own lives, even as Peter tried to hinder the plan that the Father had for you. Lord, let us not lie against the Holy Ghost. But when You speak to us, let us humble ourselves and proclaim that we are Your sons and daughters. And we'll walk out that call that You have for each one of us. Father, I pray that when we even come close to people, that we'll be able to have that discernment to see the need that needs to be met. Lord, we're so grateful that You have transformed us and changed each one of us by the power of your great love. Lord, that there's a peace inside of us knowing the one who has set us free. There's a joy this morning, Lord, knowing that we're being prepared to be used by the King of Glory every single day. And Father, there's a rest that comes upon us because we know we can trust you. Father, this morning, I pray that whatever you're putting your finger on, that you're discerning on the inside of each one of us. Lord, that we wouldn't look around and say, well, how many loaves of bread does somebody else have? But we would simply say, Father, whatever I have is yours. Use it for the expanse of your kingdom. Whatever you've deposited on the inside of me, Lord, I want to express that into the earth. I want you to get the glory. So, Father, this morning, I pray for discernment for each and every one. Holy Spirit, come. Once again, and overpower, fill up, strengthen, renew each and every one. And Father, I pray that we would be able to see in that spirit realm. You said that's available to us. We've read your word, where whether it was the first, second, or the third heaven. Lord, we've read your word where he saw the Spirit and he spoke to the Spirit and cast it out. Father, I thank you for discernment in the body of Christ. That as we walk out of here, we walk out with understanding that if you're with us, who could be against us? And with the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, all things become possible. And so therefore, Father, when we speak, let it be your words that brings life into everyone we come in contact with. We thank you for the freedom that you have given us in Jesus Christ this morning. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. And amen.